Jessica Wayne, welcome back to Radio Times. If you think that home economics today is about girls in aprons learning to make meatloaf and darn socks, then think again. Home Ec has been rebranded and is now called Family and Consumer Sciences and includes classes on financial literacy, nutrition, and healthy relationships, and it includes female and male students. There are calls to incorporate these classes in more schools because of the need for young people to have these skills to better manage their personal finances and make smarter and healthier choices, our subject for today's Radio Times. And joining us is Carol Werhan. She's Associate Professor and Teacher Education of Family and Consumer Sciences at Pittsburgh State University. That's in Pittsburgh, Kansas. She also is joining us from St. Louis, where she's attending, believe it or not, the annual conference of the American Association of Family and Consumer Sciences. And Carol Werhan, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And also with us is Ruth Graham. She's a freelance journalist, a contributing writer to the Boston Globe's Ideas section. Her article, Bring Back Home Ec, was published in October. And Ruth Graham, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Great to be here.
Carol, let me begin with you. And I have to say, in doing the show, I have engineers who help me record things. And I've had two male engineers this week, two generations. Both of them took Home Ec. Both of them had sewing classes. Both of them learned how to cook. Did home ec ever really go away?
Well, it's certainly... Oh, I'm sorry. Was that for me or Carol?
That's to Carol, but then I'll get it to you.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carol.
No, we have been around since the late 19th century. We did rebrand 20 years ago, and so I think people have lost us. They did not know because the name home economics went away in the United States, not internationally, but in the United States. So I think some people thought we went away, but we've been here for quite some time.
How about for you, Ruth, your perspective?
Yeah, I was going to say a very similar thing. It certainly never went away, and it has this incredibly rich history, but it has rebranded, and it certainly went through, I guess I would say, a branding crisis in the 70s with the feminist movement when it sort of acquired this reputation of, just teaching women to be good wives. So it sort of had a crisis at that point, but no, it never fully disappeared.
But also reading some of the history that you wrote, Ruth, is that it also looks like in the 1950s and maybe even to the 60s, some of these classes ended up promoting products and selling things, you know, foods made by General Mills. Was there a period where it was more promotional than it was educational?
Yeah, exactly. And you put your finger on it. That happened around the 1950s, although certainly processed food companies were working to get their hands into home ec classes even before that. So it did turn from this class that was teaching, legitimately helpful and healthful cooking lessons, not just cooking, but right. That was a big part of it, obviously. And then when you get into the 1950s, the processed food industry really working hard to get into home ec classes. And that's when you're seeing home ec classes that instead of teaching these basic skills, how to break bread, how to make soup with fresh vegetables, you have how to make a sheet cake from a Betty Crocker mix, which, you know, anyone who can read can do that. It's a much less useful lesson.
And to you, Carol, what are the goals today, and are they any different than they were in 1899?
Well, in some ways, they are similar. It's the goal in 1899 was applying science to make the lives of people better. That was our foundation. Whether it's nutritional science or social sciences, make lives better. And so today, where we see a distinct difference between a family and consumer science teacher who's been prepared to be such and someone who is a cooking teacher is that we teach skills, but within a context, within the context of your personal nutrition, budgeting, personal finance, your interactions with the people you love, how to balance work and family life. So it's not just the skills of balancing a checkbook, but how does that impact who you live with? How does it impact your career if you aren't a good financial manager? So very much contextual, and the whole cooking thing comes with the knowledge that experiential learning is better retained than just learning from a book.
And I'm assuming the classes are for boys and girls.
Yes, and that has held true for probably the last 20 years. At the high school level, it's pretty much 60% girls, 40% boys. At the middle school level, it's 50-50. But I have done research where I have seen boys in home economics classes clear back into the 20s. They had to kind of fight to get into those classes, but there are a few around.
Mm. Ruth, you talk about what happened during the women's movement, and even in your article, you quote activist Robin Morgan, and she was addressing, a conference of the American Home Economics Association in 1972. And do you remember what she said?
Yes, she said she accused home ec classes of producing limp gibbering masses of jelly waiting for marriage.
Right.
It's kind of unforgettable.
Yeah, and was that a bit of a death knell at the time?
You know, I would never want to say that one speech, you know, put the final nail in the coffin, so to speak. But there certainly was this mood in the feminist movement in the late 60s, 1970s, that's asking, you know, why are girls, and at that time, pretty much girls alone, spending precious time in school learning to be housewives, I think at the time that was a very fair question, and to its credit, home ec has certainly adapted to and responded to that question.
Ruth, I don't know how old you are. Did you take home ec classes? Did you have home ec classes in school?
They were available. I'm in my 30s, and I went to school outside Chicago. I never took a home ec class, and at the time, at least in my school, it wasn't really a school that was on the menu for a college-bound kid, which is, and I don't, you know, I'm speaking kind of broad strokes there,
sure.
But I think that's a shame. You know, I certainly wish that I had, because I entered adulthood realizing, oh boy, now I have to balance a checkbook, and I don't know how to cook, and luckily, my mom is a great sewer, so I learned a lot of that from her. But it was a class I really could have used and didn't.
How about for you, Carol? Did you take home ec classes?
Yes, I did. I took 2 full years of home economics, and then my junior and senior year, I chose other electives, although I valued what I had learned in the home economics classes. Going back to that Robin Morgan statement.
Yes.
I wasn't at the conference at that time. I wasn't old enough, but I am today at that same conference. And what was kind of interesting, hearing from people who were actually there at the time, you know, she was invited to speak to these home economists, mm-hmm. and they were somewhat shocked by what she said, because home economics has had a strong feminist core from its beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were several people, it's like, okay, does she not get what we do? And, of course, there were elements of home economics at that time that she was right on target. But, like I said, she was invited to speak because people were feminists in the audience, thinking, you know, she would be a champion for making sure women were able to balance their family and their career and provide, you know, home economics was one of the earliest socially acceptable careers for women back in the 1800s. So,
well, she said,
interesting.
Yeah, she said in 1972, besides the whole limp gibbering mass of jelly waiting for marriage, she says, as a radical feminist, I am here addressing the enemy.
The enemy. Yes.
Them's fighting words, yes?
Yes, yes. And like I said, people who were there said, but we invited you here because we don't see you as our enemy. So it was kind of an interesting time period.
But Ruth, I wonder whether there isn't a kind of a, I mean, I even in my intro, I use this stereotype, you know, learning to make meatloaf and darn socks, that there is a stereotype or maybe even a mythology about home economics that just isn't right.
I think that's true. And Carol is exactly right. And the early history of home economics is really a progressive movement that's designed to give women skills, to provide career paths for women, and also to sort of bring sort of dignity and efficiency and scientific rigor to homemaking. And as Carol said, not only for homemaking, because home economics also became one of the earliest career spaces for women. I think part of the issue is that it's so successful that a lot of the early lessons about hygiene and cooking, nutrition, become so fully accepted, such conventional wisdom, that it's it sort of becomes less revolutionary as it goes on, simply because these ideas are so widely accepted.
Carol,
and certainly as women have more career options.
Sure.
And that widens things out, too.
And we're talking also about women and men and boys and what, I guess, all young people should be able to do. Do you find, Carol, that schools are, that they want to incorporate home ec under its new name, that they want to incorporate these classes in financial literacy, how to have a relationship with someone? Do schools want to offer that to their students?
I think some schools do. Many schools do. I think there are a lot of schools that are really feeling the pinch that for the standardized testing situation, that the electives, and this family and consumer sciences, art, music, we're kind of all in the same elective boat, that we need to offer more of the same to make sure that students actually develop math, science skills. Where I think they're missing the point that many electives, and particularly family and consumer sciences, can help support those academic competencies, perhaps in a way that a student will learn it better than in just a math class or just a science class.
Well, I'm thinking about things like financial literacy. I don't know if people actually have checkbooks anymore, but the idea of balancing your checkbook, someone gave me a thumbs up. But that could so easily be incorporated into a math class, Carol.
It could be. I know in the state of Kansas, it was going through the legislature that perhaps we would require personal finance for all graduates, and some states do have that as a requirement, and they had first put down that the math teacher would be the person to teach it, and I spoke before the House Subcommittee on Education and said, a math teacher is not prepared to teach personal finance. They know everything about math, but those teachers have not been given the preparation to talk about, you know, why do we make decisions in a family about how to spend money? What are your values? Your money should follow your values. Family and consumer sciences is really the only professionally taught teachers that are specifically taught how to teach personal finance. And then we had legislators who said, well, I teach my kids that. We don't need to spend time at school doing that.
Well, you know what? We need to take a very short break. I do want to pick up on that, and I do need to reintroduce the two of you, and I want to get our callers in the conversation. That's Carol Werhan. She's associate professor and teacher education for Family and Consumer Sciences, the new name for Home Ec, and she teaches at Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas, joining us from the annual conference of the American Association of Family and Consumer Sciences. Also with us, Ruth Graham. She's a freelance journalist, a contributing writer to the Boston Globe's Ideas section, and we found her article published back in October called Bring Back Home Ec. She's also written for Slate, The Wall Street Journal, and other publications. We want to hear from you. What should a home economics class, or should I say a class in a consumer science, family and consumer science, include? That phone number, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from the new Wells Fargo Propel World American Express card, designed to bring the world within reach for Wells Fargo customers. Details at a local Philadelphia area branch or wellsfargo.com/propel. Wells Fargo, the world is open. Keep exploring.
Flashpoint Theater supports WHYY and presents the world premiere of the most spectacularly lamentable trial of Ms. Martha Washington, written by Barrymore Award winner James Imes, now through June 29th. Recently widowed, the weak and ill mother of America is being cared for by the very slaves that should be guaranteed freedom at her death. Her fever dream that follows investigates her life, family, and historical legacy, and explores the complexities of America's original sin. Tickets at flashpointtheater.org.
Whether you're just waking up or you're on your commute, the news is always happening. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Jennifer Lynn. WHYY and NPR's reporters are covering the stories around the block and across the globe that will fuel your day and keep you informed.
So if your alarm is set to 90.9 or were the first preset on your car's radio,
it's radio so vibrant you can almost see it.
And our reporters never take shortcuts.
Morning Edition, weekday mornings on WHYY.
Burnaby Volvo in Huntington Valley supports WHYY. Burnaby Volvo's Wonder of Summer event is going on now, featuring a variety of new models. Wonder of Summer details and full inventory at burnabyvolvo.com, 215-947-6363.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne talking with Ruth Graham and Carol Werhan about family and consumer sciences, used to be known as home economics. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Ruth, what about the comment that was told to Carol, basically, you know, if I want my child to learn about finances and how to have a relationship, that's my obligation as a parent, not the school's obligation. Do you have a position on that?
Yeah, I do, and that's something I think you hear a lot. And I would just say, in an ideal world, sure, of course, you know that, and that's, and home ec classes certainly don't take away any parent's right to teach those lessons to their kids. But in the real world, time is limited. You know, there's more and more to families where both parents are working, or where there's only one parent. I think I write in my story that more than 70% of young people live in a home now with either two working parents or with a single parent. So that's only 30% living in the, you know, so-called idyllic kind of 1950s household. So this idea of mom home cooking everything and teaching all these lessons while the child looks on, if that ever existed at all, it's certainly not the reality now. So I would say that parents who say that about home and economics classes not being necessary because they're going to do it themselves are lucky.
I wonder, though, from a school's perspective, and a lot of schools just feel completely overwhelmed, you know, underfunded, understaffed. Here's one more thing. I mean, I can imagine why these would be really great classes that, that students would really enjoy. But nonetheless, Ruth, schools feeling like, oh, my God, now I have to do home economics or family and consumer sciences.
Sure. I mean, schools are overburdened and certainly cash-strapped. But as Carol said, it's a matter of priorities. So it might be something where we look at, boy, how much time are we spending teaching to tests? That's a larger question of educational policy. But there's always going to be priorities to balance, and this is, I think, cause to sort of look at our current educational priorities.
Do you think, Carol, and I'm thinking about students graduating from college or graduate school or medical school, something like $1.2 trillion in debt. We know about things like credit card debt. Do you think family and consumer sciences can address, or the development of some financial literacy can address that problem?
I think it can certainly help. Now, there is the other situation of knowing when is it developmentally appropriate to address certain issues, even within personal finance. And at Pittsburgh State University, where I teach, we teach a consumer economics and personal finance class that it is very much contextually based. And we talk about, you know, how many dollars of loans you're taking out and the importance of attending class because you're investing in these courses, things that you, quite frankly, some things may seem like common sense, but apparently many people don't follow through on that common sense.
No, they don't.
So I think it helps. Yeah. We do have currently 3.5 million students taking FACTS classes. That's the shorthand. FACTS.
FACTS.
3.5 million and 28,000 FACTS teachers, but we also know we have a national shortage. I have administrators calling me every week saying, don't you have somebody that I can hire? And unfortunately, a lot of students and their parents have thought, well, I don't know if I want my child to be a teacher, and then do I want my child being a teacher as something that is an elective, which right. There is a perceived sense of it not being, it might be an iffy career to go into, and which is not the case.
I'm curious about the kind of relationship literacy, I guess, if I can call it that, Carol, how that factors into family and consumer sciences, how you see that?
Well, we kind of go at it two ways, as you as an individual being the best person you can be, and what does that mean, and being able to articulate that for yourself, but also within the context of the family, within the context of the people you are living with, sharing values, sharing goals over a period of time, which is our definition of family, how money and nutrition and parenting, how all those things need to be talked about and explored as a group within your family. Like I said, things just aren't standalone. Nutrition is just not about one person in a family. It impacts the entire family. Personal finance can also impact your nutrition. It can impact your relationships. So it's very synergistic and integrative, and that's kind of how we deal with personal development and family relations courses.
Does that make sense to you, Ruth?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because the idea that family relationships in some ways now you could say are more complicated than ever. Nutrition, the landscape is certainly more complicated and confusing than it has been in the past. And absolutely the financial landscape, just trying to figure out, you know, different kinds of student loans, credit cards. And I think that all that just returns us to the idea that home ec, FACS, is more necessary maybe now than it ever was, even back in its heyday. This stuff is just so much more difficult to navigate.
I wonder, Carol, I'm thinking about when you get into things like relationships and family life, whether you get into issues of values and maybe even morality. I know the sort of controversy that's associated with sex education classes. Mm-hmm. Do FACS classes face some of the same controversy or pushback?
Oh, yes, yes. And we try very hard to talk about key values that all religions share, that the majority of people would say, you know, that's a good thing. Honesty, being true to your beliefs, that's a good thing. And we do get some pushback. A lot of FACS teachers include human sexuality within their classes. I find what I think is refreshing is we teach it within context. It's just not about the nuts and bolts of sexuality, but it's within the context of what does this mean to you as an individual and as a person, and how might that influence your relationships. I taught in a very small town, and when I talked about human sexuality, I talked about it within the context of parenting.
Mm.
So if you want to prevent being a parent, if you're going to be the best parent possible, maybe it has to wait till a certain time in your life. And then we talked about how you might be able to manipulate things so that you don't have a child. And that worked well for my community. So every teacher has to kind of assess what will work within her school or her community.
And was manipulate the word that you use?
No.
Well, you know, this gets us into sometimes some little dicey area. Ruth, I mean, what I hear is context, the idea of teaching these things within context. And then I do want to get to some of our callers. Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, I mean, that gets at the heart of what home ec is and what it does so well, which is tools for living. So it's not a purely academic class. Of course, kids are learning. And, you know, as you were talking about before, picking up math skills and all of these other things through learning of these life skills. But it really is about life as it's lived and doing it as healthily and happily as possible.
And it's interesting, one of the, I guess the mission statement of the early American Home Economics Association was to promote the betterment of the home, and I guess in certain ways we're still talking about that. It's now called FACS, or Family and Consumer Sciences. Again, Carol Werhan, our guest, associate professor, teacher of education of family and consumer sciences at Pittsburgh State University. That's in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Ruth Graham, also with us. She's a freelance journalist. She's also a contributing writer to the Boston Globe's ideas section, and we bumped into an article that she wrote a couple of months ago called Bring Back Home Ec, and that's what we're talking about. Taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. What should be in a FACS curriculum? We have Dan, and Dan is calling us from Bethlehem. Dan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey, I was listening to your conversation there, and I'm like Carol. I come from the Midwest, and, you know, I'm going to show my age. I graduated in 78. And at that time, our school, I think, was innovative. They actually required us young gentlemen at the time to have a home ec type of class to graduate. So in taking that class, I'll relate back to it now. I did learn a lot of things that helped me when I graduated, and I lived on my own prior to marriage, and also too, it carried with me as, you know, I grew up with my family, you know, my kids and such like that. So I would say I'm a good experiment that they did, and also to a proponent that they would bring the home ec back into the curriculum. I think my kids would have benefited from it also.
Well, Dan, I appreciate your call to Radio Times. And Carol, sounds like two thumbs up for FACTS, Family and Consumer Sciences, also known as home ec.
Mm-hmm. The small town I taught in Oklahoma, actually, my principal's philosophy was that he wanted every kid to darken my door, as we say, because he thought boys and girls needed the skills that we were teaching within our curriculum. And then, of course, some schools mm-hmm. don't offer it at all. So,
and whatever happened to shop class? Does anyone know? Or maybe it still exists?
It still exists. It is technology education, and or is also in part of the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math education, all still part of what we used to call vocational education, and now it's career and technical. And FACTS is typically part of the career and technical department.
Well, and I wonder, too, Ruth, whether there's a call for people to know how to fix some plumbing or, you know, I'm thinking of the other things around the home that it would be nice to know how to do.
Sure. I mean, I could easily see that being folded into, a 21st century home ec class, although there may be, divisions within the schools, territorial problems with that. But when I think about, a sort of suite of life skills that would be helpful for kids to have, I could easily imagine, fixing a bookshelf being right along there with, baking bread or relationship skills, nutrition information.
Or changing the oil in the car.
Oh, my gosh, exactly, which I still don't know how to do.
nor do I. I'm good at pouring it in. I'm not very good at getting it out. Carol, do those exist?
There are some FACTS teachers who actually include those kinds of things. And also, there are still some schools that teach sewing. And I know in the town that I taught in, and this was back in the 90s, and there still are some places that teach sewing, we talk about reading technical documents, which would be the pattern,
right. And
converting it into a three-dimensional object, which I would have a lot of boys in my class, and we would talk about how do you read technical drawings, technical writing, and you can transfer that skill to putting together your stereo cabinet or a piece of furniture. If you can read the directions and follow them, then that gives you a life skill that is transferable.
You know, Ruth, and we've done so many shows about education on Radio Times, but, one of the ideas and philosophies is this hands-on learning, and it seems that, FACTS is a pure example of that, which is to learn by doing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a perfect example. Hands-on, which is both more fun, it's a great way to learn. I also love that last call because you hear, I think it was Dan saying,
yes.
I have this class, I love this class, I learned the skills, I carry these skills with me, but still would have loved to have his own kids take the class, which speaks directly to the earlier point about, well, if parents can teach this themselves, then what's the point?
Let me get Hannah from Willingboro, New Jersey to join us. Hi, Hannah, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
As I was telling you, a recall person, I'm in my 80s. The very best course I ever had, and it was in junior high, was called Home Mechanics.
Oh.
And it was a combination of the cooking things from home ec, which actually was both, you had to take home ec before you took home mechanics. But home mechanics was things like how to rewire something where the wire broke, how to turn cement into concrete, how to balance the checkbook, how to make sure you opened a savings account when you opened a checking account. All of those things that have come in so handy over all the years.
Oh, that's great, Hannah. As you were talking, I wrote down Rosie the Riveter. I mean, have you had to? Do you have you had to use those skills to make concrete? Have you ever done that?
I have, done that mainly because my late husband was all thumbs. He would decide on the project.
And then you would do it.
The one doing the stirring.
Oh, that's great. Well, Hannah, I really appreciate the call to Radio Times. And, Carol, that must warm your heart.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there are some things that that's just transcend time that we need to know how to do those things.
And it's interesting, Ruth. I mean, here's someone who's 80 years, I can't do the math and talk on the radio at the same time, but, you know, took home mechanics, a girl, obviously, and learned all sorts of what we consider back then, certainly, sort of boy things.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I haven't heard that that phrase "home mechanics" before. I don't know if Carol has, but I love it. And you know, I wish we could. I wish we could sort of import that to the 21st century. And it is remarkable. And it, you know, we were talking earlier about boys taking home ec, and here you have a young girl turning cement into concrete and rewiring lamps. And you know, everyone should know all of that. Especially, you know, fewer and fewer of us are. You know, you don't get married when you're 21 anymore and stay married until you're 95. There's more and more, you know, living on our own and being responsible for that entire collection of skills. It's fantastic.
Hannah, thanks for the call. We have a question from Kevin for you, Carol. What are the type of training or curriculum do teachers have to take in order to teach facts?
First, they have to have the pedagogical background of how to teach in experiential ways, which includes lab management, lab safety. They do food safety, food preparation, family relations courses, more than one, human development, consumer ed, family resource management, and there is, through the National Association of Family Consumer Sciences, there are national standards that every teacher preparation program that prepares FCS teachers, they have to meet these particular standards to be able to then be certified to be a FACTS teacher. So it's kind of a wide variety of courses. It also includes, like, some interior design, housing, fashion, merchandising kind of things as well also.
So you get a certificate once you complete the coursework?
Well, just like a math teacher, okay. Science teacher, you have to complete the coursework and pass an exam to be able to be licensed or certified, depending on what state you're in, to be able to teach those to secondary school students.
Well, we are talking about something we're referring to as FACTS, which it means or stands for Family and Consumer Sciences. Used to be known as Home Ec. And talking with Carol Werhan and Ruth Graham, we're going to take another short break, get back to our conversation. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at Marty Moss Coe. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On October 19th, 2007, station WHYY-FM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until August 1st, 2014. Our license will expire on August 1st, 2014. We have filed an application for license renewal with the FCC. A copy of the application is available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning the station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether the station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the FCC no later than July 1, 2014. Further information concerning the FCC's broadcast license renewal process is available at 150 North 6th Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19106, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
a free and open internet for activist Aaron Swartz, it was a cause worth fighting the government for.
He took a pretty decisive turn towards social justice issues, towards political organizing.
The complicated relationship between hackers and law enforcement told through the life and legacy of Aaron Swartz. That's next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking about the fact that Home Ec has been rebranded, retooled. It's now called Family and Consumer Sciences, or FACS, and it includes teaching nutrition, financial and consumer literacy, healthy relationships. I'm talking with Carol Wareham, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at Pittsburgh State University in Kansas, and Ruth Graham, a contributing writer to the Boston Globe's Ideas section, author of an article titled Bring Back Home Ec. Let me get Eileen from Westchester to join us on Radio Times. Eileen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, there are a couple of key words from the last conversation, like context and territorial, things like that, that I think, and geography, that I think are a big problem. But I'm going to stick to the topic,
okay.
And that's home ec. And I just want to say, I think with kids so electronically and technologically plugged in, my biggest concern is that they missed the boat on home ec. If they haven't learned how to do these things, probably, you know, finding things that excite them, I guess, is my biggest concern. My nephew in Florida took part in a program in his school where they had a famous chef, I don't know who it was, come and teach the kids how to cook. And they then were in a competition where they came in fifth and won $10,000 for their school.
Right.
And now, as a junior, my nephew is interning for a restaurant that is a very upscale restaurant as part of this program. And
well,
to me, I'm sorry.
No, I think you kind of contradicted yourself, Eileen, because what you're saying is that this home ec class helped your nephew get interested in working in a restaurant or being part of the food industry. And, it seems to me that children today, even if they're plugged in, that doesn't mean they're not curious about the world or learning things.
You're right. And I didn't mean to contradict myself. What I was trying to say was that I think home ec itself, a class where you sit in there and you learn things from one person, in terms of how to sew a pair of hands or how to do checkbook, I can tell you that in my kids' schools, mm-hmm. they have been learning that all along as
okay.
part of different classes.
Okay.
So,
well, let me give Carol a chance to respond to your comments. Carol, anything you want to say?
Well, and I would say the majority of culinary classes are taught by FACS teachers. We do have some culinary classes that are specifically career preparedness. To lead through a career into culinary. And then some food classes are more food science or family cooking. And that's the key thing about a family and consumer sciences classroom. There's very little sitting. There is a lot of collaboration and doing. And that's why so many of us who have taught middle school or high school have students wanting to take our classes, because it's very active, it's engaged. There is a lot of project-based learning, kind of keying in on what is driving a student developmentally at that time in his or her life and how we can connect it back to research-based principles.
Ruth, anything you want to add to that?
It sounds like that was kind of an ideal, a pretty spectacular home ec experience.
Yes.
But as Carol said, even when you take it down several notches from, you know, the celebrity chef experience, it's still so much more hands-on. You're getting to see the, you know, real results of your work in such a more concrete way than you will in most other classes. So.
Well, you know, it's funny talking about nutrition and healthy eating, and there's so much focus now on school lunches and making them more healthy. And I wonder, even from your perspective, Ruth, whether sort of coming at it from the facts point of view that we've been talking about during this hour, whether that sort of addresses some of the concerns about what young people are eating and what kind of eating habits they're going to have as they grow into adulthood.
Oh, I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, we hear all the time about the obesity epidemic, and it's real. And there are, you know, multiple causes, obviously, but two potential solutions are learning how to shop better and learning how to cook better. I mean, learning how to cook for yourself.
Or cook at all.
That alone, you know, exactly. Even if you're not cooking, you know, so-called health food, it's still so much better than just buying processed everything. And you're going to do better financially by being able to shop intelligently for food that you cook yourself. I think that could go such a long way to you know, answering the nutritional crisis that we have in this country.
Let me get Joyce from Downingtown to join us on Radio Times. Joyce, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was a family and consumer sciences teacher myself, and I noticed that one thing you haven't talked about yet is how what we teach can be related to all the other courses that are taught in the school, which really makes us very integrative and helps to reinforce what students are learning in other classes. So, for example, when I taught about how bacteria grew in food, mm-hmm. I said that this is experiential. I mean, this is exponential. And so the bacteria doubles every 20 minutes. If I was doing flour sifting, I could say that this is a physical change and not a chemical change, just like you're learning about in science. That is a really critical and important part that we play.
Well, Joyce, I would have liked to have taken your class, I have to say. Let me give Carol Wareham a chance to respond. Carol?
And I think she makes a wonderful point. In my teacher preparation program, and it's like this across the United States, I have our students who are planning to be teachers also look at the competencies in other, quote-unquote, academic areas. And we talk about how do you integrate key science, language arts, math principles within your class, because we do want to be a support to those other areas. So that's great. I'm glad to hear your caller bring that up.
Joyce, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Bernie has to say. Bernie calling us from East Kensington. Go ahead. You're on the air, Bernie.
Hi. I went to junior high and high school in rural Bradford County, Pennsylvania, in the late 70s. And I took home ec because I like to eat, and I like to make food, and I like to be with girls. But I also took wood shop and metal shop and something called consumer math, which was really practical mathematics. Now, these classes were kind of looked down upon as for people who didn't weren't going to go to college. But I went to college, and while I was well-served in life by these skills, I disliked having to make the trade-off and give up some more academic-type classes. I still think teaching these practical skills in junior and senior high school would benefit everybody and probably reduce consumer debt considerably, because otherwise you've got to pay people to do these things that you could do for yourself.
Oh, that's interesting. Bernie, let me give Ruth Graham a chance to respond to your comments. Ruth, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like home ec worked for him exactly yeah. like it's supposed to, which is, you know, I think of it sometimes as the idea that when you move into your first independent home, you can sort of confidently say, I know how to do all this. And it sounds like he was well prepared for that. And does it replace, I mean, sure, he lost out on a couple of academic classes probably right. by opting into that. But to me, it sounds like it was a good trade-off.
Well, and Carol's saying, this was a number of years ago, but that it was looked down on and perhaps not seen as something appropriate for someone who has college aspirations. Is that a problem that these courses suffer under?
I think it depends on the school district. Depending on how the administration and the teacher markets and promotes the program, who takes these things. Now, as I said before, if you are someone that is either struggling in classes, so you have to take another math class because you failed the last two, sometimes your schedule will not allow it. But, you know, it is very much across the board, across the United States, whether or not you have a classroom filled with people who aren't going to school or you have a very mixed group. And that's what I had in my high school. I had the valedictorian sitting next to someone that would be fine in the workforce but will never go to college. So it was kind of mixed bag.
Bernie, thanks for the call. Let me see what Barbara from Linwood, New Jersey has to say. Barbara, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead, Barbara. We seem to have lost her. Says here she was a FCS or a fax teacher, became a counselor because the job disappeared. She was just asked to teach fax classes again, and it seems like it's rising in popularity. Would you agree with that, Carol? I mean, we're talking about it on the radio, but do you see more interest in the kind of literacies we've been talking about?
I think so. I certainly know that the shortage is causing people to panic, administrators to panic, thinking, you know, we have a good thing going here, we want to keep it, and then they're not being anyone prepared to be able to take over these classes. Back when I graduated from college with my teaching license, there were many, many, mostly women going into the field, and then it's dipped down. It is on its way back up, but we're kind of in a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. It's not having enough men and women who've been well prepared to teach these classes.
Ruth, let me go back to you into something that you wrote in your piece and in the Boston Globe, and this is in parentheses. You say the facts are the FCS experts, all women I interviewed for this story were unfailingly polite, but I never reported a story in which more sources asked to be taken off the record before saying anything even remotely critical. And then you go on to say perhaps the biggest enemy of home economics is home economics.
Well, I do wonder, I mean, obviously, I hope it's clear that I'm a big fan of home
yes.
economics, but I raised a couple of questions about its, you know, its current status in the article, including the sort of vocational focus, because I do wonder, that's great for kids who want to be chefs or childcare workers or in hospitality, but then does that kind of keep away kids who have different career aspirations? And does it prevent home ec from being that sort of all-purpose, you know, equipping everyone with life skills? Does it sort of keep kids out of that? So that was one of a couple of questions that I raised. And, yeah, it's interesting because I'm a journalist, and I'm always getting people to, you know, I want people to say critical things. And this was people, maybe Carol can speak to this too, but there's sort of a hesitancy to criticize from within, and I'm sure probably part of that has to do with it's sort of, it has, the numbers are a little bit scary right now, and it's in a tenuous position. So it's an understandable unwillingness to criticize, but it was something very interesting as I reported.
Carol, your thoughts?
Well, the Smith-Lever Act, I believe it was 1921 or 1918, early on, actually, home economics was listed as a vocational course. And with that comes funding. And so even today, when someone says they would like to have a family consumer science course that is tied to careers, all careers, that if you have a successful home life, you will be a successful career person. If you can't actually say, but it is directed at XYZ career, people are concerned that they won't get funding. And as an elective, funding is important, and this additional funding that family and consumer science classes can get if they are specifically career-focused has been somewhat of a mixed blessing. It's, although we do teach 21st century career skills that goes for every kind of career, the whole funding situation has been a problem, I would say, and then I would apologize, that we have chased after, as a profession, we've chased after where the funds are, and it may be, some would say, a little bit to our detriment, that we can't establish ourselves as we are necessary career skills for all, not necessarily just for specific career pathways.
We're almost out of time here. Unfortunately, I can't take Mike's call from Germantown, but he says he's involved in the air conditioning industry. The philosophy they're talking about could be expanded to other realms, moving from the theoretical to the practical. And, I mean, Ruth, we touched on that earlier, the sort of part, and there are certainly efforts in education to make learning much more sort of experiment or hands-on based, if I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, it gets back to the funding question, mm-hmm. Because running a, you know, an auto lab, and I'm sure Carol has more experience with this, but, you know, a nutrition lab, all of these things cost money, mm-hmm. but, boy, do kids love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think, Carol, maybe it's time to rebrand FACTS back to home economics? Do you think there's a reason to sort of bring back the old name? Because, I mean, during the hour, I kept sort of toggling back and forth between the two.
I know. Well, the thought was 20 years ago at a conference like I'm at right now, the thought was it better reflected what we do without that gendered stereotypical baggage. And I think it has been problematic. I don't know that we would ever go back to that name, home economics, but I guess it would be worth the conversation. As I said, internationally, it is still home economics.
Right.
But in the United States, we're FACTS.
Well, maybe you can bring it up at the conference that you're at there. Carol, Wernhan, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Ruth Graham, thank you very much as well.
It's been a pleasure.
And Ruth Graham, a freelance journalist, contributing writer to the Boston Globe's Ideas section, and Carol Wernhan is an associate professor, teacher education of family and consumer sciences at Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh. That would be Kansas, not Pennsylvania. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program, including podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, email, archive, satellite radio. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, he took home ec. I took home ec as well. The show was produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.